Because this is one of the divine windows, and it is the completion of the window that God said is the time where I want to teach you about rest. All right? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you praise and honor and glory for what you're doing. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the divine teacher. Teach us all things, bring all things back to our remembrance, guide us in all truth. We quote this every week, but the reality is because you are the divine teacher, and so we're asking you to didactically speak over us and cause us to become didasco, the impartation, where now we are those epistles, that we are living, breathing scripture, that you are telling a story through as we live our lives. Open us up into the dimension of mystery, because mystery only belongs to people that are in relationship. Those who are occasionally Christians, those who occasionally have time for God, get parables. But the people who are disciples get mystery.
Yes.
And we thank you that the secret things belongeth unto the Lord, but the Bible says those things which are revealed unto us are for us and for our children's children. So it is for two generations beyond us. The way that you speak to us in mystery makes us a patriarch.
Yes.
To pass on to two generations beyond us. We bless you, Holy Spirit, that you will teach us all things, bring all things back to our remembrance. God is in all truth. Speak what you hear. Tell us of things to come. The Bible says we have an unction from the Holy One, and we know all things. And so we bless you, and we praise you for this moment. Speak over us. Breathe over us. Come over us. From the four winds, breathe upon us that we may live. We bless you and we praise you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So some weeks ago, we were coming up on a conclusion. Next week could be the conclusion, but we're coming up on the conclusion of our series that we've been teaching on vision. And this particular Sunday in the Jewish window is a very big moment. And of course, we know that that is taking place on Saturdays, but according to scripture in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, the day after the Sabbath, which is Sunday for us, the day after the Sabbath, in this moment, we celebrate Passover. If you've been doing what you were supposed to do this week, over the last 7 days, it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it was the time where God was checking our hearts for sincerity and truth.
Yes.
In the New Testament, that's what our bread of unleavened is that bread of sincerity and truth, according to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. So now we begin to see that God has a plan for us in terms of how he wants to deliver us out of bondage. Now, this is very important that people understand this, all right? Number one, God's strategy for you in getting you out of what you're in when you're in bondage is that he must give you a vision.
Amen.
He's got to give you a vision, because when he gives you a vision, that vision he knows is going to speak and it's not going to lie and it's going to make Pharaoh let you go. It's his way in which he covenants and bonds with you to say, I guarantee you that from this day forward, I'm going to be your God. I got your back. I'm going to make sure that the things that people are trying to do to you, that when they become an enemy to you, they're going to be my enemy. When they become an adversary to you, they're going to be my adversary. From this moment forth, I want you to lay your hands down. And the only time you raise them up is not to hit somebody, but to worship me. And while you worship me, I put my hand on that. Three things within the Passover window. You have Passover, you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then finally you have what's called First Fruits. All right? And so that's why we have this as First Fruit Sunday. It's not the title, but it is the moment, okay, that people have to understand that we are in. The title of our teaching is Vision Works, all right? And we said that before. And one of the things that is important is that in the book of Habakkuk, God told Habakkuk the prophet, he said, though the vision tarry, wait for it.
Yeah.
That the vision was worth waiting for.
Amen.
And at the moment when the vision manifests and it speaks, it's going to make up for everything that you've ever gone through. It's going to make up for all the years lost. It's going to make up for relationships lost. It's going to make up for trauma suffered. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. He said that when the vision speak, it's not going to lie. Everybody that didn't believe in you will when they see the vision manifest. You understand what I'm saying? So it's not your pressure. It's not the pressure is not on you to try to convince people that the vision works. He said the vision has a voice of its own. All you got to do is believe it. And stand back and let me move.
Okay. Yes, Lord.
So Jeremiah 29 and 11, which was our base scripture throughout this teaching, is that God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts that are peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." In the King James, in this version, in the NIV, it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you," says the Lord. So the fact that he says, "I know the plans that I have for you," implies that God is a strategist.
Yes.
That he didn't allow you to come into this life, even though your mother and father came together. They weren't able to create you until he was confident that the plan that he had for you was in place.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You never hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That your life could not possibly be an accident because it was planned.
Yeah.
It was scheduled. The earth demanded that you be here. You're going to hear what I'm saying. And so when you begin to understand this dynamic, he says now you got to live your life every day like you are walking according to a plan. The plan that I have for you. Watch this. The reason that I put a plan in place, he says, because I want to ensure your prosperity. It's a plan to prosper you.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
It's a plan to prosper you and not harm you. And you got to be careful because sometimes in your plan, it looks like it's a setback.
Yes.
But
yes.
If you really understand the way that God's plans work, you know that a setback is a setup.
Yeah.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, Jesus walked in the room. People said people were dead. He said they're asleep.
Right.
Because when people live by a plan, they understand that there are certain things that are scheduled. And those things that are scheduled are guaranteed if you follow the schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Amen. If you follow the schedule and do exactly what you see your father do, he says, then you're going to watch and see the results that your father said. A lot of people are not sure when you move into an area that certain things are going to work. But if God told you to do it, then you got to have a mindset that it's impossible to fail. Not impossible to work. It's impossible for it not to work because he already did it. And all he's telling me to do is do what you saw me do or do what you saw me see. Do what you seen me do. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Do exactly what you saw when you were praying about it. Okay. To do exactly what it was when the vision manifested to you, I want you to do that. And when you do that, the cosmos is going to adjust itself, and people are going to start supporting you, and help is going to come out of nowhere, and provision is going to come out of nowhere because you're doing what you saw your father do.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's a plan to prosper you, not to harm you. We got to look and see that the route God taking you is not the easy route, but it's the best route.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody saying amen here. It's the best route for you based on the way that you're built. It's the best route for you because it's a route that is guaranteeing your prosperity. The Bible says in Joshua 1 and 8, this is warm up. Joshua 1 and 8, he says that I'll meditate in the word day and night and I'll observe to do all this written there. And watch this. He said, then shall I make my way prosperous. My way just aligns itself and becomes prosperous. Stuff that didn't work, start working. He says that it when I do this, he said, then I'll make my way prosperous and I'll have good success. That he was saying here, Joshua found a dimension where he can write his own ticket. He found a dimension where he can write and ensure, not guess if he's going to be successful, but know that he was going to be successful because it's a dimension that says it's impossible for me to fail.
Look at that.
The plan is to prosper me and not to harm me. It's a plan, watch this, a plan to give me hope and a plan to ensure my future. That's what God is doing in Jeremiah 29:11. So I don't play around when they come to my desk.
That's right.
I don't play around with that. You might be asleep on it. I'm not talking about you, but I'm saying people might be asleep on you. But let them be asleep. You'll wake up.
Yeah.
You'll wake up. Your sleep don't bother me at all because I'm fully awake and fully aware about the plan that he's got for my life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when you understand that there's a plan that you have for your life, you stay away from toxic people. You stay away from toxic thoughts. You stay away from toxic language. You stay away from toxic behaviors.
Yes.
Because when I live my life according to the plan, I know evil associations.
Yeah, that's right.
It corrupts good manners. Leviticus 23 and 2, we're talking about first fruits. Leviticus 23 and 2, it says, speak unto the children of Israel. This is God speaking to Moses. He's speaking to the children of Israel. Say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, three of them, it was Passover in this particular window, all right? For actually, you have Passover, you got Pentecost, and you got the Feast of Tabernacles, which is done in the fall. But within the Passover was three things. We said Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. He says, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye proclaim to be holy convocation, even these are my feasts. Now, I want to change your mindset about how you look on Sundays. Mm-hmm. Sundays. Is it a church day or is it a divine window? He says every Sabbath day is a convocation. The word convocation in the Hebrew, mikra, which means a call out. So in other words, the Holy Ghost is calling you out the cycle of your week. Says, I'm hollowing out a day where you and I hook up.
Wow.
I'm hollowing out a day where I am putting a divine subpoena out on you. And I'm saying you must show up.
Yes.
Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? It's a call out. Yes. God is calling you out because he's saying that in order for you to change what you're in, I got to take you out to bring you in.
Yes.
Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? Yes. If you stay in that cycle, you won't have vision.
Right.
Oh, okay, let me help you with what they taught me in leadership.
Yes.
So one of the things that we learned in leadership and management when I was in corporate America, it says is that the leader can't stay in the valley.
Jesus.
No, the leader has to occasionally climb the mountain and look out over the horizon to make sure that the people that they're leading are going in the right direction.
Yes.
Because your vision is different based on your vantage point. When you're looking from the mountain, you see the ways around the mountain. You see the cracks in the valleys. You see the setups that the enemy has. This is why the Bible says that when it came to John, he said that he heard a voice in heaven that said, come up higher that I might show you the things that must come to pass. That we're seated with Christ. Ephesians, the second chapter, tells us in heavenly places. Why are we seated there? Because God don't want you looking at your situation from the wrong vantage point. And when people are looking at it from the wrong vantage point, you get overwhelmed by how big your mountain is. But if you change direction and begin to sit where he sit, your mountain look like a pebble. Y'all not hear what I'm saying? Your mountain don't look like that. Look as big as it used to look because you are not obligated to remain in the valley when God has given you access to the mountain. And so he's saying here, he said that I want you to understand that a Sunday is a call out.
Amen.
Now we call out at work, but he said, I want you to call out of everything that you've obligated yourself to. And I want you to bring you and your family and present them before me. And as I begin to didactically speak over you, I'm going to put something on you called supernatural. And you're going to go back into your week and you're going to become masters of the marketplace. You're going to become kings and priests. Why? Because of the anointing that's on me is going to be on you. And you're going to go into that field and be able to do things within that sector that other people cannot produce because they don't call themselves out. They don't come to the place where there is a convocation so that I can immerse them with myself.
Yes. Amen. My God.
Now he says that's every Sunday, but these feasts, Passover, it's a call out. It means that on that day, you do something the way God wants it done.
Yes,
you don't let something else get prioritized over what God wants done. He says, then the Feast of Unleavened Bread over that 7 days, I want you to check your heart. I want you to make sure that you are walking in sincerity and truth, to make sure that you are not having the wrong motives about the things that I've got you doing, to make sure that stuff is clean. Because the Bible says, keep your heart, for out of it, what flows the issues of life. Okay. And so he's saying that I want you to make make sure that you're saying on a regular basis, just like we do the Lord's Supper, it makes us remember what the price that Jesus Christ did on a regular basis. Every first Sunday, we remind ourselves, not just on an Easter, not just on a moment of Resurrection Sunday. We resurrect every Sunday. We remember what it is that God has done for us. And as long as we position ourselves in that way, we'll never forget.
Amen.
And he says that I want you to build a habit, a lifestyle, yes, that on Sundays you present yourself. Now, most people say, well, I, you know, sometimes I got work on Sunday. I get you. But I teach people, you have that conversation.
Amen.
You have that conversation with your HR department.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
And you let them understand that this is a part of a religious affiliation. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? I'm trying to help you so that you understand how this works. God said, don't let nothing get in the way of my day.
Right.
It's the day that I hallowed out. It's the day that before you were born, I decided we were going to meet on this day. And he says that it's a call out. It's a divine call out. And God is calling you out. He's calling you out of your cycle because he don't want you to be overcome by your cycle. Especially when you're in your process, you got to make sure that you're looking at your process from a healthy point of view. Because if you don't, you'll start complaining. You'll start murmuring because you are not allowing yourself to be called out.
That's right.
And the first fruits is a call out. It's a call out. It's a time where God says that I want to show you something that you did not know before. So we said that in a vision has to have a mission. A vision has to have a destination. I'm not going to relitigate this again. You'd have to get the previous teachings. He says it's a mission. It's a destination. It's an assignment. All right. But the fourth thing is that a vision must have provision and a vision must have resources in order for it to be fulfilled. There must be resources.
Right.
We're not going to go around money.
Right.
Because we need it.
Right.
It's what we do.
Right.
It's a currency.
Yes.
That allows us to reach souls. And so he's saying here that any vision I give you automatically has within it provision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, watch this. So the Feast of Passover, we said before, as I mentioned before, are the Feast of Passover, Unleavened Bread, and First Fruits. All right. And we said that those were the dates, that March 30th was the time for this year. It changes every year. You got to look at the Jewish calendar to understand when the exact dates are. But March 30th was the time of Passover. March 31st through April 7th began the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then today is First Fruits. All right. And watch this. First Fruits, as we said, and I want to make sure I get this point here, that these were put in place so that God's people would automatically know how to walk in God's rest.
My God.
The Bible says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You're doing stuff too hard.
Yes.
Ways of a transgressor. The people who know what they're supposed to do but won't do it. That's the ones that it's hard for. He said, but for my people, there's a grace on you, and the grace makes you live in a state and a dimension of rest. And so he says, when you recognize that Passover comes, you automatically get excited. You begin to teach your children excited. Honey, God's about to kill our Pharaoh.
Yay.
Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? He gonna hit them where it hurt. I've been dealing with some stuff all year long, but I recognize that this is the time where God said, beyond this window, this is where it ends. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? He said that that's the time, watch this, that the time of Passover also incorporated within it. The reason why First Fruits is so important is because it incorporated that when God called them out, he also had a strategy about the fact that they weren't going to leave empty-handed. Some people are just thinking about just being free.
Right.
But you're not thinking about being free with pain.
For
pain and suffering.
Yeah.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God made Egypt pay their 400-year debt by causing them to get the gold and the silver, and they gave it up.
They just gave it
to him. He said, tell them to go to their neighbors. Their neighbors were not Israel. Their neighbors were Romans or the Egyptians.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Their neighbors were pagans.
Yes.
And he said, go to the pagan. And he says, borrow.
Yes.
But you ain't paying it back. You didn't tell them that part. They never paid that debt. Because it was a grant.
Ah,
it wasn't a loan.
That's right.
And y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And God's got grants for you. He's got things that he has in place. That there are certain requirements of things that you must do, but you don't pay it off. You don't have to pay this back. Okay. So watch this now. He told us then, he says, now with these fees, they're important. He says, but don't run into the same mistake that they ran into in the children of Israel. In Hebrews, the 4:1-2, it says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise of being left of entering into his rest, any of them should come short of it. Now watch what he says. Verse 2, for unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them, but the word, watch this, preached did not profit them. Why did not the word profit them? Because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard. So now we're understanding why principles don't work for people. Because when you operate in a principle, you must also apply sage of faith. He's saying that when God speaks to you, watch this, whenever heaven speaks to you, it waits for a reaction.
Yes.
And so what we got to begin to understand is that when God speaks to you, God said, I want you to act like I gave you some revelation.
That's right.
I want you to act like you heard some words that's going to make you free. I want you to act like there's some truth that you know that's going to make you free. And when I spoke truth to you, then automatically you start shouting. You start getting excited because you knew your household was scheduled. Ain't nobody saying amen to me up in here. He's trying to remind you that your house is scheduled. Your life is scheduled. Your children are scheduled. When you all can't watch out for them, I got them. Are you understanding what it is? They're my heritage. The fruit of the womb is my reward. Except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. When you begin to understand that your life has already been set, he that keepeth Israel, neither slumbers nor sleep.
My God.
Hallelujah.
He said, you're stepping. He said, but you got to apply your faith to and deal with that unbelief. What are you talking about? Deal with that unbelief. He tells us in verse 6, he says, I want you to understand why some of them did not make it to the promised land. He says, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. We don't understand how powerful unbelief deactivates what God said to you. It literally deactivates this. And so many people are sitting in the house of God hearing revelation. But they become deactivated because first thing you start doubting is because what ain't in your bank account.
Right.
What you're battling, rejection, low self-esteem, as if God asked you if any of those things really meant that what he said wasn't going to come to pass.
Right.
It was a non-issue.
Right.
He started talking about what really mattered, not what didn't matter.
Right.
And he knew who he was talking to. He knew he was talking to people that had been in bondage for 400 years, and they did not know how to be landowners, but they were called to be landowners. And he wanted them to understand that the Passover meant that I'm about to hover over you. And when I hover over you, everything that I've ever spoken to you about, everything that I've ever gave you a dream about, everything that I've ever said, just like Mary 12 years old without a man can have a child. Y'all not hear what I'm saying? Just like the earth is without form and void and darkness covered the face of the deep, but the Spirit of God moved over the face of the deep and all of a sudden light be like was. And then he said that whatever I hover over automatically produces. Whatever I hover over automatically becomes the miracle. Whatever I hover over becomes what I say. I didn't ask you what you're dealing with. First Samuel 15:22 gives us the ingredients of what you need in order to walk in your first fruits. He says here, when Samuel's talking to Saul, he says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices?
Yes, come on.
In other words, does God want a tip from you, or does he want what he asked for?
Right.
He says that as in obeying the voice of the Lord. So is it more important to then do great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, or is it better to just obey? He goes on to tell him, he said, behold, to obey is better than your sacrifice.
Yeah.
Y'all not hear what I'm saying. God telling you what he really wants.
Amen.
He says, to obey is better than your sacrifice, to hearken than to the fat of ram. He not concerned about your gift.
Mm-hmm.
He concerned about your heart.
Yes.
He concerned about whether or not he told you to do something and you did it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So wow. Now God is not just looking for your faith. He's also looking for your obedience.
Yes.
Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? Yes. And when we understand that faith and obedience is actually what activates the supernatural up in your life. Some people come in with faith, but they ain't obedient.
Yes.
And so the obedience deactivates what God said he gonna do. And then you get upset when you don't see the manifestation, but the manifestation didn't come because of something that's missing. And you got to understand what God wants. God wants more than anything else. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For they that come unto God must first believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he automatically tells you from the onset, if you don't walk in faith, you're gonna have a hard time pleasing me. You're going to have a hard time walking in my principles, because the way that things are set up, this whole cosmos was framed because of faith. It was framed because of somebody spoke something out of their mouth because they believed it. So he said faith and what? Obedience. Don't ever forget that. Faith and obedience. Watch this. 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I said this earlier. 7 through 8. Just write it down. It says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a what? A new lump, as ye are unleavened, for the as Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So now this scripture tells us that Christ is our Passover. I'm about to show you what else Christ is. But he says in verse 8, but let us then what? Keep the feast. That's New Testament. Oh, that was just for the Old Testament Jewish people. That's not for the Old Testament Jewish people. That's for you New Testament Jewish people that were grafted in, called Gentiles. This is New Testament talk. He said, keep the feast.
Amen.
Because they're windows.
Amen.
And there are covenants that what I do with people that honor my feast. Watch what he says. Let us therefore keep the peace. But don't do it with the old way that they did it. I'm not looking for you to sacrifice no bull around. I'm not looking for you to put no blood on your doorpost, because that's just nasty today. But what you begin to understand is that he said, but I may tell you to put some oil on your house.
Yes.
Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying? My neighbors was looking at me like I was crazy on Passover night, honey. Yes, I was. I was out there at night and I was greasing that doorpost down. I ain't even lying to you. I told them, I said, grease the church. I ain't there, but grease it up. We'll put it all on it, honey. Because I understand what we are doing. People will laugh at you, but they don't understand your covenant. They don't know what you're activating because of your faith and your obedience. And there's some people that wouldn't do it because of the way you thought you were going to be looking. But you disqualified yourself by unbelief. Breezed it down. Walked around the corners of my property, pouring oil on the sidewalk. I don't know what's walking past my house. I don't know what's driving past my house. I don't know who sent something to my house. But I'm letting it say that it's going to boomerang back to your house because of the anointing that's on my house, because of faith and obedience.
That's
right.
Yes.
Bam. Yes. I said, keep the feast. Don't let the devil take this and make this stuff insignificant and allow to fill your heart with unbelief and make you think that that was just for them. This word was written for our instruction. And we need to understand that these words were written down by people who were divinely inspired of scripture, inspired of the Holy Ghost to write this, because he didn't want it lost. Keep the feast. Watch this. So he tells us here that leaven is a substance typically yeast that is added to dough to make it ferment and rise. All right. And we said that Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We said leaveneth here is the Greek word zoomo, which means to cause to ferment. In other words, that God causes, just like if you allow stuff to sit too long, it starts to ferment. It becomes more acidic because it's just sitting there. Right. and heat and temperature plays a role in things of that nature. So temperature has to deal with it. But he says a little leaveneth, ETH, we learned in English, is a continuum.
Yeah.
So he's saying that if you allow little stuff to stay in your heart that you know you need to deal with.
Yeah.
If you allow hypocrisy to stay in your heart because you're getting away with it. If you allow the season of not tithing to stay up in your heart where you're not honoring God, where you allow gossip and innuendo, and you allow yourself the criticism to live in your heart thinking nothing's wrong with it because ain't no prophet called you out. You begin to understand that the Bible says because judgment is not executed speedily, men don't repent. So because people try something and don't get in trouble for it, they feel like God is okay with it. But he ain't okay with it.
Yeah.
It's called mercy.
Yes.
Amen.
Mercy, mercy.
He said a little leaven, zume, which means to boil up. It's corruption that boils up over time. People think money make you wicked. Money don't make you wicked. This is magnifies what you are.
Yeah.
If you was wicked, but people that steal stole before they had.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? It's just that nobody know them and they didn't get caught.
Yes.
Jesus.
So he's saying here that a little leaven, it'll leaven the whole lump. Just a little bit. Y'all take off. The Bible says a little fox spoils a whole vine. So it don't take a whole lot for you. He said, blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of a godly, nor standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now notice the positions here, posture. First he's standing.
Right.
Blessed is the man that walking. First he's walking not in the counsel of the godly. Then he stayed in that too long. Then he's standing in the way of the sinner. Now he's standing. You're becoming less mobile.
Amen.
Then by the time you just totally corrupt, you're sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now you are the Bible.
Yes.
And you got to tell everybody else about what you don't like, but they moving and you sitting. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. And you got to understand what the leaven is doing to you. It is killing your mobility.
Wow.
He says a little leaven will mess up your whole lump. You can have a pure lump, but just a little 1% can mess you up. One thing. God brings you into prominence, and that one thing can get you in trouble and cause you to lose everything that you ever had because you never dealt with the leaven. Leaven makes stuff rise, and when they don't have no leaven, it don't rise. And God was saying that over those last 7 days, he wanted you to have a Selah moment where you wasn't allowing stuff to rise on the inside of you. You wasn't allowing things to insinuate. You were allowing soft answers to turn away wrath instead of grievous words that stir up strife. Y'all not hear what I'm saying? And he said that as I'm bringing things to your mindset, I want you to repent.
Amen.
But repentance is not God I'm sorry, it's God I'm changing.
Yes.
And so you got to begin to understand that when God brings that to your knowledge, he wants you to repent about it. But he said, now we're going to develop a strategy so that we can develop a new lifestyle so you don't have to keep repenting for this. Okay.
Yes.
This is what leaven does for you, because God said, well, I'm getting ready to bless you. And when I bless you, I don't want you sabotage.
Right. Yes.
Allowing what the enemy sold in you tears while you were asleep in a season where you weren't real discerning. You allow tears to be sown into you. Things, traumas, things that took place up in your life, people that did you wrong, people that dropped the ball, and you don't allow that something was planted in you. And God says that everything that the Heavenly Father has not planted, that we want him to pluck that out. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's why David said, create in me, because I know something in me.
Yeah.
I know something in me. Search my heart, oh God, because I know there's something in there. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful.
Right.
There are things that throughout the course of your day, you're not wicked, but you're around people that are.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying? And then sometimes there are things that they say and the things that are just in the atmosphere, they get stuck on your spirit.
Yeah.
And we come home and go to bed with that mess and we just collect unless we got the ability to scan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scan me, Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Scan my spirit, scan my soul. If I picked up anything today, if I said anything today, if I thought anything today, if I did something that I did not get convicted about, but you were not okay about, let me know.
Yes, Lord.
So Exodus 12 and 14, it says, and this is the day that it be unto you as for a memorial. We were talking about Passover. I'm getting ready to transition. And it says, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout all of your generations. Did it say throughout all your generations?
Yes.
Don't let nobody take this from you.
Amen.
Don't let nobody rationalize this away.
Yes, God.
With human knowledge.
Amen.
Without divine wisdom.
Amen.
He says, you shall keep it as a feast, as an ordinance. A memorial simply means zikron. It means as a reminder. An ordinance means shakwa, which means a custom or commandment. So God is saying, I'm commanding you. I'm not asking you to do this. This is a commandment. So every time you don't do it, you are breaking a commandment, which means you are in disobedience.
Yeah.
The second one we knew was Pentecost. And during Pentecost, one was how to find and enter God's rest. The second one in Pentecost, which takes place in May 20th through the sundown to sundown, is the way it works on the Jewish calendar. Now watch this. It says how to receive and live in God's supernatural power. So here's one thing God's saying. I don't want you to run out of energy, so I want you to learn how to do it my way.
Amen.
That's finding and enter God's rest. Amen. Now he's saying, then I'm going to teach you about how to work and walk in my power.
Amen.
This is the season within these windows of what he wants to. Then you have the Feast of Tabernacles, which typically takes place in the fall of the year. And it's learning how to enter God's protection. Now, he protects you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But he hallows out a certain time of the year, which is celebrated over 21 days, that he wants you to remember, I got your back.
Because
you're facing a lot of stuff in society today and all kind of stuff that you read in the news and hear on the news. Every day, something is happening. Bombs are going off here. Planes are falling here. Explosions in these areas. The famines and different types of viruses are in the land. And he said, I don't want you to get so conscious of that you forget I'm your protector. Y'all not hear what I'm saying? So he hollows out a time of the year where over 21 days he just loves on you and reminds you about his power so that you go throughout the rest of that time frame knowing that God's got my back. And I'm not out here on my own.
Yes.
I'm not going to be fearful about putting my kids here and me going here and me doing this and being involved in that when I don't recognize that I got protection. So all three of these were the feast and the feast of first fruits. Now watch this now, which is today. Now he told us to keep it. I'm going to fast forward and we're going to talk about first fruits now. So what exactly is first fruits? First of all, it's not the tithe. A lot of people teach on the first fruits. They're teaching about the tithe. That the tithe is something that you do on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
The first fruits are only done when there's a harvest. So every time there's a lump sum that is given to you, regardless of where it comes from, God says that you give a tithe and a first fruit. Now, I'm going to show you why you give the first fruit offering. He says to Samuel, said, have the Lord great delight in the burnt offerings, or is rather obedience better than sacrifice? Now, let's talk about what it is. First fruits is the Greek Hebrew word bikrom, which means to promise to come. It's talking about the promise to come. What promise is he talking about? Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, first fruit is not an event, it's a person.
Amen.
Because what we are waiting for is the redemption of our bodies and the return of Jesus Christ. So every time you give from the harvest that comes into you, it is a spiritual sign of Jesus coming back to rapture his church. He's saying that I want you to understand what exactly the first fruit is. He says first fruit, watch this, represents the first portion of the harvest, and it was given to the Lord as a prophetic sign that God was the Lord of the harvest. Now watch this. This is what he told the children of Israel. We're going to get to this in a minute. Now, notice what the Bible calls Jesus. Most people read this and don't realize it. In Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 38, he calls himself the Lord of the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest. Now, the whole way that dissertation starts out is that Jesus looks in and sees that his heart is moved with compassion as he looked at the people as a sheep without a shepherd. And so he goes on to say that we need to pray that the Lord of the harvest, because the fields are white unto the harvest. In other words, people are ready to make a decision, but I don't have enough labor.
Yes.
I got distracted laborers, but I don't have enough focused laborers.
Yeah.
I don't have enough people that understand my windows. I don't have enough people that understand how my kingdom works. And because of it, it limits the amount of harvest that I'm able to reap. So Jesus refers to himself as the Lord of the harvest,
amen,
which implies somebody is watching over what we do with our hearts.
Yes.
It's a person. The Lord of the harvest. I want you to stare at this picture really good. I want to change the way you look at harvest. Harvest is not your wheat. Harvest is the soul that are connected to
you. That's right.
The blessing of God is not the, it's a means to an end. What's really important is when we do right with the blessing of God, it brings him souls. Y'all not hear what I'm saying? And these souls are in different sectors of society. And people don't begin to understand that. That the reason that God wants to bless you is not just for you. He wants to bless you because of who's connected to you. Who's in your sphere of influence. And when you understand what's important to him, you start aligning your gifts, your talents, your skills, your resources, so that it aligns and allows you to be a witness to those that are called to be his harvest. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. This is what first fruits is all about. It's reminding us that every time I get a harvest, I'm going to replant. Because I want to live in a continual state of reaping. And I want God to get souls. And when I release it to his house, it is a guarantee that the house is going to be positioned to train up people to go into the harvest to win the souls. That's how it works. But when people don't understand this window, houses suffer. And churches are limited.
Right.
In terms of what they're able to do. Because the people are not kingdom oriented and are not watch this. First fruits is giving God your best, not your leftovers. Most of us, we get our love songs, and God the last person. Not all, but he among the last. We give him a tip. As if we have to protect our money from him. Who gave you the breath, the energy, the health, and quite frankly, the income. You got it twisted because then somebody else's name was on the check. You don't understand that he said the earth is the Lord
and the fullness
thereof. They don't know the company belong to him. Your CEO will change, but this CEO has never been voted out.
That's right.
He don't have no board overseeing him. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying? He's the chief executive officer. He's the leader of the board of directors.
Hallelujah.
He runs everything because he wants people to understand. He said, now, I gave you Jesus.
Yes.
That was the best I had.
Yeah.
Why are you holding back your
back? Wow.
Because of fear.
Yes.
That's true.
The fear of not having enough.
That's it.
So we give God tips instead of giving God what he said he wanted, which is the first fruit. Watch this. He says here in Leviticus 23 and 10, he said, when you come into the land, talking about first fruit. He says, now when he gave him this word, they wasn't in the land of Canaan yet. I'm trying to help you to understand that God lives in a time frame called now. So everything that he says sounds like right now. We live in time. And so there is seed, time,
and harvest.
Are you understanding that? It's not just seed time, not one word. Seed, time and harvest.
Yes, Lord.
So there's time in between your seed and your heart. It's called process. Your ground, your seed is germinating underground. Watch what he said. He said, when you come into the land of Egypt, anytime you, and for us, every time you come into a new season. Every time you come into a new opportunity.
Yes.
Every time you come where God has expanded your portfolio. Every time you receive increase. He said, watch this. He said, I want you when you come into the land that I give unto you and the conjunction. He says, you shall reap the harvest thereof. So now you got an increase in your pay. Watch what he says. He said, then ye shall bring a what?
A sheaf of first the first fruits of your harvest.
Now, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. How many people did not know this? That every time you are supposed to bring in a first fruit upon every increase that you get. This isn't a tithe. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So he says, every time you come in, I'm trying to change your mindset. Because God said, you got to begin to trust me with the heart.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm the Lord of the heart.
Amen.
I'm the one that expands your portfolio.
Right.
So why would you be afraid to give to me, but you're not scared to get to the stock market? And that ain't even guaranteed.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Revelation. Mm.
So he says, watch this. Look at this. He said, now, when you come in, when you bring it in, he says, then you shall bring a sheaf of first fruits to the who?
Harvest. Unto priests.
Uh-huh.
The priests.
Now watch this. I'm getting ready to show you something. The sheaf, we said before, the word sheaf means a stalk of cut, which is basically a portion of your income. Now watch this. In that day, they harvested grain and grains and things of that nature. So they were binded together in a sheaf. All right. Mm-hmm. And I showed you all the sheaf
right. And
what the sheaf looks like. So it's a collection of things like a portfolio. And then they were bound together. And that sheaf was brought to the offering to the priest. Now watch what happens. He says on this thing here that not only are we to bring in into the house of God. In Exodus 23:19-20 says, for the first of the first fruits of thy land, thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. So everybody understand where it comes. You don't give it to another charity.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's a seed.
Right.
Or that may be something that you're just giving to support that charity. That charity cannot give you a return.
That's it. Come on.
Now, the Bible tells us in Psalms, the 12th chapter, he that lends to the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and God will repay. But that's basically God returning back to you the same measure that you gave.
Mm-hmm.
That's not increase.
Amen.
When you are talking about first fruits, he's saying here that you bring that to the house of the Lord, because the house of the Lord has an anointing on it.
Yes, it does.
And the person that God put in the house has an anointing on them. And I'm going to show you this in scripture. So he says here, bring it into the house of the Lord, that thou shalt and thy mother shall not see the kid. Now, you need to understand the power of this, because this Leviticus, or this Exodus 23, he goes on to list seven other things. The first thing he says after this is, behold, I send my angel before you. But I'm trying to show you what activates that. Those seven blessings that take place in their life.
Yes.
So he's saying that for the people that do this, you're going to release seven supernatural blessings
yes. That
are going to take place. The first of which is an angel that shall go before you. Watch what it says. It said he'll keep you in the way and he'll bring you into the place that God has called you to.
That's important.
So not only does he have the anointing to protect you, but he also has the anointing to create doors of opportunity. He has the anointing to be able to kick some doors open that folk won't invite you into. If they won't RSVP you, then he will put you on there and RSVP you himself. Your gift will do what? Make room. It may not have been no room before, but because of what God got on your life, he'll cause room, and people wonder how you get in this room. But it won't matter, because God invited you.
Yes, God invited me. That's a message.
First fruits activate supernatural.
Wow.
A supernatural anointing to be on your income potential.
My God.
Okay, watch this. Exodus 34:26, he says it again. I want you to see the same thing. About 2-3 minutes, let every word be said. He said, bring it into the house of the Lord, thy God. Exodus 34:26, he says, bring it into the house of the Lord, thy God. So he said it to him twice. Now watch what happens. First fruits are based on your total income. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 4, it says, the first fruits of also of thy corn, thy wine, and thy oil, and the first of thy fleece of thy sheep shalt thou give unto him. And that's just talking about that. But then he's also talking about your firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
Your firstborn child.
Yes.
All firstborn things belong to him. He claims.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? He's trying to help you to understand why he wants you to watch this. Now, when you give the first fruits, in the Deuteronomy 26 and verse 10, he says that you need to give it in an attitude of worship.
Yes.
Y'all right. Yes. Not hearing what I'm saying.
That's
some people, whether you pay it like it's a bill.
Yep.
This ain't Pico, man.
No.
This ain't your utility bill. This ain't like God taking from you. He's taking it and lifting it up so he can expand it and give it back to you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Watch this. You give God a seed, but he gives you a harvest. He don't give it back to you the same way. And that's what people have to understand. He's not taking. Cast your bread upon the water, and after many days it shall return. But when it returns at a frequency and at a harvest that is greater than your seed.
Amen.
He's saying here that thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and when you do, worship.
Amen.
Yes.
Worship him, not just you. You praise him for what he's done.
Yes.
You worship him for who he is.
Yes.
You worship him, why? Because he's the Lord of the harvest. And you know that somebody is managing this portfolio. Lord, have mercy. That there's somebody that's managing to make sure that the blessing of the Lord stay on my life for the next 12 months. This is a prophetic sign in the spirit realm that your money is now under the influence of the kingdom of God. And every opportunity that comes to you over the next 12 months is divinely scheduled and divinely, oh God, who am I talking to? It's divinely scheduled and divinely inspired. People are going to do stuff for you that you didn't pray for. People are going to want to help you who don't know you. And it's going to be because you activated it with faith and obedience.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes.
Don't ever give a first fruit without worship.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. You say you worship when you give.
Yes, God.
Christ, ladies and gentlemen, represents the first fruits. 1 Corinthians 15:20-23, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of them that slept. Watch this. For since by man came, one man came death, by man also comes the resurrection from the dead. All right. He goes on to tell us that for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all are made alive. So if you believe that one man's sin can cause sin to come on everybody else, what happens when one man obeys? What happens when one blessed man puts his anointing on your life? Y'all not hear what I'm saying? That in other words, if Adam can corrupt because of his disobedience, one man's obedience to Christ, the second Adam, can cause the blessing of the Lord to rest on my house. Lord, help me up in here. He says, but every man in his own order, watch this, Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. So in other words, he's saying here that the same anointing that's on Jesus Christ as a first fruit will be on you. Mm-hmm. Now, this is important that you understand this, because that means that everybody that gets in your space is going to get a measure. It's called overflow. Amen. Your cup going to run over, and the people that are around you, your staff, they're going to begin to come in the stuff that they ain't prayed for, and it don't matter whether they save or not. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? Because the anointing on you is contagious. The anointing on you, it begins to affect the people that's around you. Whoever get in your space going to be affected by your grace. Lord, help me up in here. And you understand it, and he wants you to understand, because it's first fruits. Jesus was anointed. The 12 disciples hung around him for 3.5 years, and they got promoted to apostle. They didn't know what an apostle was, but they got put in an office that they weren't even prepared for, didn't even know about, because of their upgrade that came because of relationship. Something happens to you when you sit under somebody who's anointed and didactically is speaking over you. Don't you ever think that you sitting up in there, I tell you, I said it and I keep saying it, that your quality of life should improve when you come into the hand of a real man or woman of God. Your portfolio should grow. You should be able to see something in your finances when you get connected to the right person.
Yes. My God.
Come on, Dad. My testimony. Hallelujah.
Exodus 13:2-3, he says here, he says that sanctify all unto me all the what? Firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast. What did God say? Now he ain't say that. He said, it's mine. Bless you though. It's mine. Watch this now. He said, everything that comes out of a womb.
Yes. Mm.
Come on now.
Yes.
First. Now here's where people gotta understand if you're gonna be trusted with large sums of money. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who does it belong to?
That's right.
All of it.
But if you got that, if you confused now,
that's
then
right.
You're gonna cancel what he wanna do for you later. Because he said, I want you to know before I bless you,
before
that you got your head on straight.
Yes.
I want you to know who the Lord of the harvest is. I want you to know who the source of your blessing
is.
Now, you understand what I'm saying? He's saying here, he said, everything that come out the womb, the firstborn of it is mine. Man and beast, it belonged to me, dedicated to me. First child.
Mm-hmm.
First job. Mm-hmm. Everything is first. The first of your day.
Mm-hmm.
comes out the womb of the morning.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Give it to me.
Yes.
It's mine. Don't make me wait till tonight.
Amen.
Right. Honor me now.
Yes.
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 Okay.
Amen.
And I say unto thee, watch this, he says in Exodus 4, 22 through 23, I want to show this to you because I want you to understand why God killed Pharaoh's firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
Exodus 4, 22 through 23 says, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, the Lord, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, mm-hmm. even my firstborn.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
This is what he told to tell Pharaoh. And then what he said in verse 23, he said, I say unto thee, let my son go. That he may serve me.
Yes.
And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay your son, your firstborn.
Wow.
Jesus. Okay. Let me take you there. Some of you all are not the firstborn in birth, but you're the firstborn in saved.
Yes. Yes.
He's the first one in the kingdom. You opened up the way, you opened up opportunity for everybody.
Yes.
Let me tell you what God said. He said, now that one is supposed to be free to serve me.
Yes.
I'm trying to help you when you're facing your challenge.
My God.
What you must begin to do, you must speak to your challenge.
Yes, amen.
Get a chair. Sit down and talk to your challenge.
Yes.
And tell them, I want to help you how not to get in trouble. First of all, I'm God's firstborn.
Amen. Teach us, Master.
And he wants me free.
Teach us, Master.
To serve him.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm giving you a request to let go.
Jesus.
Wow. But if you don't let go, he going to hit you where it hurts. You talking to principalities? You talking to powers? You talking to rulers of darkness in the world? You talking to spiritual hosts of wickedness everything? You talking to hells? You talking to hexes, vexes, spells, incantations, all of that? You talking to all that stuff? You saying now? I'm trying to tell you not to mess with
yes,
me.
Yes.
Because I got a revelation.
Uh-huh, I got it.
Before, I thought I had to incur and take this mess. But now I realize now in scripture, I ain't got to take this no more because I belong to somebody. And if somebody I belong to will come at you.
That's good.
If you hold on to God's firstborn and won't let him go, God coming after your firstborn. Okay. That's what he told him. He told him, Nehemiah 10:35. These are some scriptures I ain't never seen before. Nehemiah 10:35. It says, and bring the first fruits of our ground and all of the first fruits of all of the trees year by year unto the house of the Lord. So first fruits are sown typically yearly, but there were times where harvest came in more than once a year. And so he said here that it is brought in yearly or whenever the cycle of harvest happens. So there's sometimes in the course of a year, and I'm talking beyond your tax return, y'all. Come on. Let's take it a little higher than that. All right, I'm not minimizing that, but let's take it higher than that. So now when you begin to get these returns, he says, just be prepared. Automatically be schooled.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make sure that I sow my first.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
My first fruit is a spiritual prophetic declaration
yes,
to the realm of the spirit about God's commitment to my finances. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
Watch this. Hold on, I'm not here. Second Kings 4:42. It says, and there came a man from Baal Shalsama, whatever that is. And it says, and he brought the man of God the bread of the first fruits. Who did he bring it to?
The man of God.
This was Elijah. They brought the first fruit to the man of God that God had anointed. Now, I want to help you with this because I'm getting ready to show you another scripture that's going to change the way you should. Change the way you look at your man or woman of God that you are connected to. Watch what he says. He says now that he bring the first fruits of the breads to the first fruits to the man of God. He brought it to him and 20 loaves and enlist all the things full of ears of corn and the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the who?
People
that they may what?
Eat.
Amen.
Now, I'm just saying, don't this remind you of something? Five loaves, two fish, 5,000 people, not counting women and children who are hungry. And the disciples said, can you let them go so they can eat? They've been with us all day. And Jesus said, feed them.
Right.
Yeah. So how are we going to feed all these people? He said, well, what do we have?
What are we working with?
Yes. Five loaves, two fish. He said, bring it to me.
He multiplied it right there.
The Bible says that he held up the five loaves and two fish.
Yep.
And the Bible says he lifted it up to heaven. He blessed it.
Blessed.
He broke it. And he gave it back to the people. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. Some people think God is taking, but not adding. But the reason that he's taking is because he wants to put a blessing on it. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. He wants to put an anointing on it that wasn't on it before. That's why you ain't having them. But when he puts an anointing on it, now he puts it back in your hand. And it just keeps multiplying. And it just keeps multiplying. And it keeps reproducing. Why? Because somebody else blessed it. He brought it to the man of God. And he said, I could take it directly to the people. But if I take it directly to the people, it won't have a blessing.
That's it.
Oh my God, watch
this.
You ready for this one? I don't know if you're ready, but we're going to do it anyway. Ezekiel 44:30. Lord Jesus, I almost shouted in my house last night. It says, in the first of the first fruits of all things, every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblations, shall be the what?
Priest.
Now, a lot of people can't handle this. I'm not advocating, I'm just saying. I'm just telling you what the words say. Don't get mad at me. He did not permit the priest to work.
That's right.
They also were not entitled to an inheritance. Because God was there.
Amen.
They could not trust in their portfolio. He was their portfolio.
My God.
He didn't allow nothing between him and them. Because he wanted them to know, I'm your source.
My God.
Not your savings account, not your checking account, not your job. So it's not uncommon for him to tell a priest, leave your job.
My God.
Yes, they did.
This scripture says here that it belongs
to the priest.
Shall be the priest.
Yes.
Shall be the priest.
That's the Bible.
Now watch what else it says. Ye shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough. Here's the reason why. That is a word of explanation. Whenever you see that, he's explaining something. Here's what he's explaining. He says that he, the priest, may cause the blessing to rest in your house. But you scared to give it to the man or woman of God because you think that they dishonored. But you don't recognize God put them there so that the blessing will stay up in your house. Yes. He said that the priest was going to put a prayer on. Which means that God puts an anointing of multiplication on the man or woman of God that he puts in place. That a multiplication anointing on him that was on Jesus is on them. And when they pray over your stuff, stuff start working. But most people stay distant because you're afraid of what the man of God is going to ask you. So let's bear this out to see whether or not this is really the truth. The brook dries up. And God speaks to Elijah, the father, and he says, go to a widow at Zarephath, who he had not spoken to. And he said, for I have commanded her. She didn't even have that conversation with God. But God said, I've already released the declaration in the spirit about how I want to bless her. But I'm going to command her to do something that she's going to have to trust the seed in the hand of the man of God. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. If he wanna eat, or you gonna bake your cake and die, or do you wanna live?
Yes, that's right.
I commanded him. He goes to this woman who God ain't talked to yet. She don't know he coming. I'm getting ready for him. He don't know he coming. Watch what happens. Bible says that Elijah said, what's going on here? He just wants to survey. He knew already. So, well, you know, the time is pretty tough. And long story short, I'm about to bake my last meal. We're going to die. I ain't got nothing else out beyond this one. This is it. It's the last meal we're going to eat. That's what she said.
Awesome.
But God said something.
God said.
Hey! Glory.
So Elijah said to her, and she could have said no.
She could have.
You got to recognize how smart these women were. Okay? Because his son talked to another woman who had creditors that her husband built up the bills and didn't have no life insurance. And that's a whole other story.
On that oil, though.
He said, bake me a cake first.
Yes.
I ain't telling you give me the whole cake, but I am telling you give me a piece of cake.
Yes.
Because if you feed somebody else, you will eat for the rest of this family. Y'all not hearing hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now you can sit there and eat that cake in front of me. But he said, do my cake
first.
Amen. First fruits. My God.
And the Bible says that the cruise of oil did not run dry for the entirety of the famine. She lived in increase while everything around her was suffering. Because of a commandment that God gave that she didn't hear, but had to trust through the prophet.
Wow.
And that's why she was able to walk
in the room
because nobody else was getting
anything.
That's
right. That's
so the air valves were empty.
To rest. Not come by here, dear Lord. But it'll come and sit in your house.
Yeah.
And stay with your house for the entire year.
Amen.
My God.
Hey, glory to God.
I said, Lord, shut your mouth.
All right.
I said, I put it on you.
Yeah. Yes,
amen.
Yes,
people
Lord.
Connected to you are walking into
the shade. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. I know
that's right. Hey! Yes, God.
Because
they
connect.
Yeah. Right.
Because the anointing of the deliverer is not just to bring you out of bondage, but it's to bring you into freedom and to prosper.
Yes.
Jesus. That's why I tell people, as a condition, if your quality of life don't increase, you're probably in the wrong church.
Yeah.
I ain't scared to say that. I ain't scared to
that's right. That's right. That's right.
No, because I got a revelation. I'm not the one doing it. It's the one who put it on me.
Yes. That's good.
In essence, God says, when you take care of the people that I've called to look out for your soul, I put an anointing on them to make you relevant in the marketplace.
My God.
That's good.
See how it works?
Mm-hmm.
And your quality, am I lying?
No.
But then your quality of life will begin to prosper. 1 Samuel 2:30, it says, wherefore, unto the Lord said unto Israel, he said, I said indeed to thy house and to the house of thy father, thou shalt walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me will I honor. Those that honor me, but you got to honor him first.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you honor him, he going to put honor on you.
Why?
And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. God said, if I feel like
it.
Wow.
Now, do you want to live in a destiny? Or do you want to live in a miracle that is determined as to whether or not I want to do it or not?
First one.
Whoever honors me.
First fruit.
That's what first fruit does. It's an honesty that is given to God. God, I'm honoring you not because I've demanded to.
Right.
I'm honoring you because I want to.
Want to. Yes.
Because my quality of life is better since I'm associated with you.
Yes.
I ain't scared for you to have nothing I got.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Everything I got belongs to you.
Yes.
Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Come down from the fall of light where there is no shadow of turn. Ain't nobody saying amen to me up in here. When you begin to understand that we are God's first fruits, Jeremiah 2:3, just write these scriptures down. I got to hurry. Israel was holiness unto the Lord. Y'all see that? Israel was holiness unto the Lord. God called them holy, set apart. They belong to me. This is what every child of God has already laid ownership on you. He sent that notice to hell. He sent it to every principality power. He sent it to the God of this world. He sent it to Satan. He sent whatever you want to call his name, Beelzebub, you know, Lord of Flight, whatever you want to call it. He said, I faxed, I emailed, I sent the communication to everybody. I already downloaded this in the realm of the spirit. Yes, everybody know you belong to me.
My God.
Look at God.
When you got saved, communications went out to everybody. Mm. This is now my anointing.
Yes.
And don't do them no harm. And what releases that in the activity in the earth realm is your faith and obedience. You ain't hear what I'm saying. I ain't scared to give God the money because he owned it.
Yes.
And watch this. If he can get it through me, he'll give it to me. See, the thing that I'm not willing to release, I'm not worthy to receive.
Wow.
Because he know I'm scared.
Wow.
You say you have. At times God told us, empty out your savings account.
Yes, Lord.
Draw down your 401k. Listen, you ain't got the faith for that. Don't do it.
Right.
Because you can't complain about it when you do it.
Right.
Don't nobody else owe you nothing. God owe you.
That's it.
Amen.
If he told you to do it.
That's it.
And he told me do it. That's why I gave him love songs to different places that he told me to do it. I didn't care. You know why? Because I've been in places that I shouldn't have made it out
of. Oh, come on, man.
Yes.
I was battling stuff in my body there. I'm losing weight, and I ain't know why. I'm concerned about some stuff. Are y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm in and out of doctor's offices, digestive system all out of whack, all kind of different things. I was in and out of psychologist's office because of depression and anxiety attacks and fear and all these other different things that were alive me. I had too much wrong with me that he made right.
Amen.
To be sitting up here playing around with some little money. I don't care nothing about that. I'm a good steward, honey. I'm a manager. I know how to do stuff. But I promise you that I ain't scared to trust him with. Because it belongs to him.
Amen.
He says that those that honor me, I will honor. Watch what he says here, Jeremiah 2 and 3. Because Israel is holiness unto me and the first fruits of my increase. These people are my increase. Watch what he says. All that devour them shall offend me. Anybody that put their hand on you, it offends me. I'm trying to give you a revelation. Watch what he said he do to them. Evil shall come upon them because they got their hand on what I hallowed as mine. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people to show forth the praises of him that have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You got to know your value. If they touch you, God said they're going to bring out that war side of me. Especially when you know. He said, whoever your adversary is, I'm going to be an adversary to them. Whoever your enemy is, I'm going to be an enemy. Is there somebody read these scriptures?
Yes, sir.
He said, he talking about you.
Yes.
Touch him and see what happens. Everything start working in the reverse. You don't know what's going on with your life because you ain't. I've had people in corporate. I'm not lying. I'm firing you. I said, you know what? I ain't wanna pull the Jesus word on. No, no man take my job. I lay it down. But that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to be correct.
Amen.
I worded it another way. I said, you'll go before I will. That might even be worse. But I'm sorry. Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's what
I'm not doing it with you. I'm not trying to fight you. I'm not trying to prevent that. I'm not trying to use the system against you.
Jesus.
If God want me here, ain't nobody move at it.
That's right.
Now you understand what I'm saying? Because you got to know what's on your life. The spirit of him that was on Jesus Christ is on you. I'm about to close this. God becomes an adversary to all who attempt to devour your first fruit. I want you to think about this for a moment. Every time, you know, see, here's what the enemy's greatest fear is. I got to keep you without money. Because I know what you're going to do with it. I know what you're going to do. So we got a strategy as to how to keep you.
But God just broke
that. Okay, that's great. I want you to understand that the more wicked Pharaoh became, the crazier the system got.
Yes.
Just look at these. 10 plagues.
Yes.
They all just came until he just couldn't take it after the first one.
Right.
Get out of here. I'm tired of looking at you. That's all we wanted in the first place. You could have made this easier on yourself. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But he's saying here that I want you to understand you are my first fruit.
Yes.
Not the seed.
My God.
You are. And what comes from you is an extension of you. You're my first fruit. We got this wrong. He said, you belong to me. And I got to close this up. So he said, remember me. In Nehemiah 13:31, Nehemiah uses this as a prayer strategy. He says to them, and for the wood offering and the times appointed for the first and for the first fruits, he said, remember me, oh God. You know what he was saying? He said, I want you to remember all them times that I gave first fruit in obedience.
That's right.
I want you to think all the things that I've been doing for the kingdom of God. How reliable I am to you, how I don't fight you when you say you want something. Your agenda is my agenda. He said, I want you to under. He used it as a prayer strategy. He said to God, he said, now I want you to bless me. Remember me because you can get stuff through me.
Yeah, that's
good.
Remember me, oh God. And God did remember. Did he rebuild that wall?
Yes,
he did. Because the people, and namely him, had a mind to work.
Yes.
So I'm saying to you that you got to know how to use this even as a prayer strategy.
Yes.
To understand that every time you obey God, the blessings of the Lord are on your life. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Hear this. His ears are open unto their prayers.
Yeah.
But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. The people that are connected to God, for we know, St. John 9:31, that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God, him God heareth.
Amen.
Call on me and I will answer thee.
Yeah.
Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Are you understanding what the Lord help me? Okay, let me hurry up. First fruit is honor. Now everybody know this scripture. I just want to throw this in here as we close. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the what?
First fruits
of all thine increase. So shall your barns
be filled.
That's that. It's the law of cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. See what I'm saying? When you do something, it causes a reaction.
Yeah. Amen.
And he says, this is the reaction. He said, your barns, that's your accounts.
Amen.
That's your portfolio. That's your stocks. That's everything that we qualify today as assets. It shall begin to expand. Your house will expand. And if they can't expand because you got neighbors on the other side of you, then there are other houses.
Yep. Right. You know that. Come on here.
Where he gives you land, square footage, so you can expand. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He said, thy presses shall burst forth with wine. You ain't going to have enough room to put what you got.
Amen.
The more you release, the more come in.
Amen.
I declare that's the word.
Amen.
You can't be God-given. But the faster you try to get it out your house, and you can't find enough coal. Because you got too much.
Amen.
All of it comes from the honor that is sold to him through first fruits. Are you learning something?
Yes.
Romans 11:16 says that your income will be set apart to God.
Yes, Lord.
For if the first fruit be holy, the whole lump is holy.
Yes.
Amen.
And the root will be holy, and so are the branches.
Yes.
Everything becomes effective. By the obedience and the faith of sowing the first fruit.
Amen. Yes,
everything is touched. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These are the seven promises. We'll teach on this next week as we wrap up. These are the seven promises that God said that when you sow first fruits will begin to happen. The angel of the Lord will keep you and bring you in. I declare you need to memorize this stuff, get it in your spirit. God will be an enemy to your enemy. God will give you prosperity. God will take away sickness and disease. You got that in your house? You stand on your cup.
Yes.
This is not supposed to be in there. You said you would take it away. I don't want it. People who were recovering in this church, this is a prayer that I prayed over you. You said that there would be no sickness among you.
That's right.
Take it out.
Take it out.
Because we don't want it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That God will cause you not to just live a long life, but a healthy life.
Yes.
Qualify that. You want a healthy life.
Yes.
You don't want to be rolled around and I'm breathing and saying, I'm not, that's you right. know, if people like that, trust me, I understand there's healing for that. But God is saying that I want you to understand that I don't want you around here and you need all this assistance.
That's right.
I want, watch this. If you got